This is a Sunday before the fourth and the third Sunday in a long series of Sundays of Pentecost and Kingtide. I remember several years ago, as many of you did, I stood before an officer and I said, I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Many times as I was fulfilling my obligations in the military, I thought about, now what is cleaning a latrine got to do with protecting my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic? There were many times there would be tasks that we would be asked to fulfill, and it wasn't so much the task, but it was the willingness to learn to follow orders and to do what you were asked to do, so that if you were ever asked or given an order to charge, you would obey it. There was a lady who was applying for a passport, and they looked at her application and says, well, you have to make a pledge of loyalty. And she said, okay. And she held up her hand and they said to her, will you protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and what I just said against enemies, foreign and domestic? And she looked at him after it's all over with, and she said, do I have to do this by myself? It has been said that the World War II generation was the greatest generation. Certainly they were a great generation. Just this last week, I was talking with someone who had lived during World War II, and her husband had rode a glider into Normandy, and we were talking about the gas stamps and the food rations and all that, and she said, you know, I had forgotten about those. For our young people that maybe are here today, there was a time when it didn't matter if gas was $4 a gallon. If you didn't have a stamp, you couldn't get the gas. If you didn't have a stamp at the grocery store, you couldn't get sugar. Clothes were made from bags of cloth that flour came in. And many a person wore these garments that their parents made from this cloth with pride. I will always remember one of my professors at Central Wesleyan was teaching about this time in history, and he made a statement, and I have never forgotten it. Probably a lot of things he said that I did forget, but I didn't forget this one. He said that in World War II that there was not enough garbage for the sanitation workers to pick up, and they literally thought they were going to be going out of business. Everything was being recycled. Everything was being used for the war effort. Everybody was working together. The country, for the biggest part, had a spirit of unity and of oneness. It was working together to defeat the enemy. But I submit to you that that was not the greatest generation. Even though there were those who came home from World War II and they had all types of leadership skills, and they went to work in our country, and women went to work in the factories during World War II and served in the military as wax, nurses, pilots, whatever. But they still were not the greatest generation. Jesus bemoans the generation of his day, and he says, to what shall I compare this generation? They were stubborn of heart He refers to them here as acting like children. And he says, woe to that generation that trivializes me and makes me irrelevant. You see, to me, the greatest generation is that generation of people who surrender their hearts and lives and wills to follow Christ. The Bible refers to them and says they have shut the mouth of lions, they have conquered kingdoms, they have quenched the furies of flames, they have escaped the edge of the sword, they were stoned, sawed in half, mistreated, and yet they were called by their master to give their lives, to strive, to grieve, to die. The lesson comes to us today from Matthew, and it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Myra just referred to in our children's sermon about the statement at the foot of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. And I'll add some of the rest of what she didn't read. It said, the wretched, the refused of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. As we think about that statement at the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, we take a deep sigh maybe and ask ourselves a question. Are we quite as willing now to receive those immigrants as we have been in the past? Are we quite as willing maybe as we used to be? And we still hear Jesus saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I've always thought it a privilege that one of the things that I do understand is I know what it means to work and to work hard. I know what 12 hours in the sunshine is like in the heat. I know what working at night means. I know what it means to work all night and sleep all day and wake up in time to go back to work feeling like you've been run over by a truck. I know what it means to be tired. And I've always considered that to be a blessing as I minister, because I can identify with people. Hard-working people. I appreciate hard-working people. There's a lady at the Half Dome in Yosemite National Park. The Half Dome rises 4,737 feet. It's a popular destination place for hikers. The lady dialed 911. The ranger answered and said, yes, may I help you? The woman says, I'm tired. The ranger said, are you sick? She said, no, but I'm really tired. Are you fearful for your life? No, but I am tired. So, well, what do you want? She said, well, I was really hoping that some of my friends would come and get me. Somebody asked the ranger what happened. He said, well, we really got lucky. He said, about that time, her cell phone battery died and we couldn't hear any more from her. Sometimes when we get tired, it does call for us to find that resolve down inside of us that calls for us to, and as in this case, come back off the dome where we had walked. Gordon MacDonald teaching his son to ski, he said, "Son, watch out for those runs at the end of the day, when fatigue produces slower reflexes and poor decision making comes with that fatigue. And the shadows are longer, and icy and bare spots are hidden. And the combination of depleted body and unseen obstacles create conditions in which accidents are far more likely to happen." Fatigue. We talked last week about those of you who would dare to yawn during the morning worship service. Some of you who would dare to drive when you're sleepy. And on the commercials that I have seen on TV, and I'm sure some of you have seen them as well, there are automobiles now that can make you aware that you are too sleepy to drive. Isn't that something? Maybe it needs to let us know as well when we're grouchy, or short-tempered with our loved ones. The Sleep Foundation of America says that 60% of Americans are getting less sleep than what they really need. Well, maybe that's another time. But Jesus calls for his disciples to come to him. To come to him and rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There are reasons that people feel tired, and I've already alluded to some. And one man was told by his doctor that if he would exercise, that it would add years to his life. And the young man began to exercise, and he says, "You know, the doctor was accurate. I already feel 10 years older." But we do understand that there is a time when we do feel tired. We do remember those old spirituals that said, "Gonna lay my burden down by the riverside." We do acknowledge there is coming a day for us when we won't be dealing with all the vindictiveness that's within our country, and there's going to come a time when the struggles of this life will be ended. As I was reading one of my relatives' statement on the day before he passed away, and he talked about that day when he would lay it all down, and he said, "Lord, how I want to go home." But for those of us that journey on, E. Stanley Jones is a good example when he is recognized as one of the greatest missionaries of the 20th century, a man of amazing energy, and he wrote several best-selling books. But one day his career was almost over because of chronic worry and fatigue. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out, working and worrying. "I was suffering so severely from brain fatigue and nervous exhaustion," he said, "that I collapsed not once, but several times." Aboard a ship returning to America, Jones collapsed again, and the doctor put him to bed. After a year's rest, he attempted to return to India, but became a bundle of nerves on the return trip and arrived in Bombay, a broken man. His colleagues warned him that any attempt to continue in ministry in such a state of anxiety could be fatal. And while praying one night, he said, groping in emotional darkness, Jones seemed to hear a voice asking him, "Are you ready? Are you ready for this work to which I have called you?" "No, Lord," replied Jones. "I am done for. I have reached the end of my resources." He said the voice seemed to speak to him, "If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it." Jones answered, "Lord, I close the bargain right here, right now." He said a great sense of peace closed in over him. He felt a rush of abundant life that seemed to sweep him off of his feet. His energy returned. His enthusiasm bubbled over. He plunged back into his work with vitality that he had never known before. And he went on to spend a lifetime of ministry in India, writing numerous books and ministering to multitudes around the world. He later wrote, "This one thing I know. My life was completely transformed and uplifted that night. When at the depth of my weakness and depression, a voice said to me, 'If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it,' the voice said, 'I will take care of it.'" In closing, maybe you and I need to close a bargain with God. Do you have that sense of peace that Stanley Jones found in his encounter with God? Many of us are tired because of mental and emotional conflicts that are draining us of our energy. We need to turn our worries, our concerns, our doubts, and our fears over to God. For His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen.